So I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me to give this talk. I'm going to be talking about a statewide program of EPT in Washington State. So expedited partner therapy refers to the practice of treating the sex partners of people with a bacterial STD without requiring that they first undergo a complete medical evaluation. In most instances, that means patient-delivered partner therapy or giving people medications to give to their sex partners. Three randomized controlled trials conducted in the United States have demonstrated the EPT is superior to standard partner management. But patient-delivered partners therapy does not ensure that all partners are treated. Risk factors for having untreated sex partners despite the provision of EPT include having more than one partner or the index case's belief that they will not have sex with a partner again. We previously reported from Public Health Seattle King County's successful use of a case report form to triage patients at high risk for not notifying partners to receive public health partner services. Here we evaluate a similar program going statewide from a population then of 1.8 million to a population of over 8 million. This program was part of a statewide EPT program modeled after that developed in King County and was instituted in 2007. The program is funded through the National Institutes of Health as part of a step wedge community level randomized trial. And the intervention has two main elements. The first is triage of cases to receive partner services based on a case report form, which I'll show you in a moment. And the second is free patient-delivered partner therapy, which is distributed throughout the state, both to high-volume clinics and available to all medical providers in the state through local pharmacies. This is the Washington State case report form. What I'd like to draw your attention to is this box here, which asks the provider to indicate a partner management plan. And there are three options. The first is that the provider can indicate that they want their patient to receive health department services. We recommend this for patients who have more than one sex partner, a partner they're not going to have sex with again, men who have sex with men, and people who just overtly say, I'm not notifying my partner. They can also indicate that they're going to take care of partner notification. And as I said, we provide free medications for patient-delivered partner therapy for all partners of people diagnosed with gonorrhea and chlamydia in the state of Washington. Or they can indicate that all the partners have already been treated. These are the packets that we distribute to provide patient-delivered partner therapy. There's a similar one for gonorrhea. These are pre-packaged in a single pharmacy, and they're designed to meet the requirements of the State Pharmacy Board. They're stocked in high-volume clinics throughout the state, and we also contract with 157 pharmacies in the state, which stock these for provision. The pharmacies are paid $2 to $5 dispensing fee for each packet that they dispense. We also have pre-printed prescription forms, which are attached to the case report forms, and there is also a faxable version of these available to providers throughout the state. Now, this is a map of the state of Washington, and the different colors are designed to show you the different waves of this community-level randomized trial. So wave one is in orange, and they started the intervention in October of 2007. Wave two is in gray. They started in June of 2008. Wave three is in dark blue. They started in January of 2009. And the final wave began in August of 2009. In white, you see King County. King County does not participate in the trial because the intervention was already up and running in King County. We didn't want to stop it and restart it. That wasn't deemed to be feasible. And you can see in the northeast corner of the state, there's a single local health jurisdiction comprised of three counties, which elected not to participate in the study. Very, very few people live in those counties, and there are almost no cases of STD in that area. The analysis I'm going to present comes from a random sample of cases. The random sample is defined as cases are into our internet-based case registry. And the outcomes of interest is the association of providers' partner notification plan, as indicated on the case report form, with whether or not partners were notified, the partner's treatment, and whether or not the patient received patient-delivered partner therapy from their diagnosing provider. We also looked at acceptance of patient-delivered partner therapy or assistance for DIS based on the partner notification plan, and use of patient-delivered partner therapy by diagnosing providers. For all statistics, associations were defined using generalized estimating equations to adjust for correlated data. This slide is showing you providers' partner management plan as indicated on case report forms from over 26,000 case reports. 89% of forms were completed successfully by the provider who was reporting the case. 54% of the forms indicated that the provider wanted the health department to provide services to their patient. 21% said that they would take care of it, and 25% indicated that the partners had already been treated. Now, looking at process outcomes, and this is a somewhat larger group because we had a run-in period before the forms began. We started with over 31,000 cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and heterosexuals diagnosed between January of 2007 and the end of 2009. We took a random sample of 6,650, and of those, successfully interviewed 3,931, or 59%. Among those who were not interviewed, the principal reason was that we couldn't get a hold of them. The 3,931 people provided information for which we had final dispositions on 4,304 partners. This slide is showing you the association of partner notification plan on the case report form with partner notification outcomes. It's a little bit complicated. So the yellow bars are showing you people for whom all partners were already treated, was what the provider indicated. The dark blue is the provider said that they would take care of partner services, and the red are those people who they referred to the health department to receive partner services. Now, in the black boxes, what I've done is I've combined all partners already treated and provided to assure partner notification. In other words, those people who were not referred to the health department to receive partner services. Now, looking at this first group, what you can see is that while 89% of partners were notified at the time of the DIS interview, among those not referred, only 72% had been notified among those referred to receive partner services. Looking at whether or not patient-delivered partner therapy was supplied, 56% of people who were not referred to receive health department services had already received patient-delivered partner therapy from the diagnosing provider, compared to 10% in those who were referred to the health department. And then 26% of partners were untreated among those not referred, compared to 60% among those referred. Now, looking at what happened once we contacted people, what services were accepted by people, only 5% of partners ended up being treated among those who were not referred to receive partner services using patient-delivered partner therapy. In contrast, 25% of the partners among those who were referred ended up receiving patient-delivered partner therapy. DIS assistance was accepted to treat 17% among those people who were referred, compared to the random sample not referred to receive public health services, was only 7%. All of the associations I've shown you are highly statistically significant. Of course, the numbers on this are huge. Now you're looking at whether or not the partner receiving patient-delivered partner therapy from the diagnosing provider over time. You can see I've indicated an arrow when the intervention began, and there's a trend, this is wave one, toward increasing receipt of patient-delivered partner therapy from diagnosing providers within the wave. This is wave two, again we see a trend toward increasing use with the intervention. Wave three, again it increases. Wave four, which was the most recent wave, still going up. So in each of the four successive waves, the introduction of the intervention did increase the provision of patient-delivered partner therapy by diagnosing providers. Simplifying this somewhat, if we compare just pre-intervention period to the intervention period, 16% of patients received patient-delivered partner therapy from the diagnosing provider in the pre-intervention period, and this went to 29% during the intervention period. So in summary, our trial continues to be ongoing. I think we can say that our case report-based triage system is working. It identifies a population with untreated sex partners who will accept patient-delivered partner therapy when we contact them and accept DIS assistance. In this regard, it confirms our previous experience in King County. The program is increasing patient-delivered partner therapy use by providers. At present, we cannot yet conclude whether or not this is having an effect on the prevalence of infection, which is the main goal of this community-level randomized trial, which, as I said, is ongoing. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge this is a lot of people work on this study. I'd like to mention in particular Roxanne Karani, Jim Hughes, Sherman Liske-Ellison Moore, Kathy Thompson King Holmes at the University of Washington, and Mark Stenger, Mark Alvin, and Catherine Gudgel. But I should say that there are a lot of other people who have worked on this DIS throughout the state. They were funded by the NIH, the local health officers, pharmacists who work for Bartell, Rite Aid, Fred Meyer, and Public Health Sale King County have all been critical, as well as obviously our study subjects. Do you want me to try to answer a question, or do we do that?
At least a couple minutes for questions.
Case.
That's great. Quick question. For those people that did not receive EPT, could you distinguish between whether it was offered or whether it was declined?
I didn't present data on that. There are an appreciable number of people who are offered EPT who don't end up accepting it, and I don't remember exactly what that number is. Roxanne, do you remember?
I don't remember. And part of the issue is that we didn't add the question until we were into about phase two. And so we're starting to look at that now, but we don't have sort of good numbers yet.
But you're right, there are some people who the provider offers it and the person elects not to take it.
There may be good reason for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so do the doctors give the medication directly to the patient to give to their partner, or do they send them to the pharmacy?
So it depends a little bit. So in large volume clinics, all the Planned Parenthood clinics, all the family planning clinics in the state, they stock it on site. And we'll stock any large volume clinic on site with these meds for free. But the problem is that the reality is you're only still talking about a third of all the cases in the state are going to be seen in these larger volume clinics or so. The majority of cases are actually diagnosed by random providers scattered out the state who see relatively small volumes of patients. And for them, the meds are mostly provided through the pharmacies, since it's simply not practical to try to stock every single doctor's office in the entire state of Washington. Yeah?
Were you worried about side effects or anything as far as say a male partner giving to a female and they don't know she's pregnant, she's doxycycline, she's causing reactions?
So we never use doxycycline in these. These are all azithromycin for chlamydia or, at present, cefixime and azithromycin for gonorrhea. The meds are all prepackaged with allergy warnings and warnings related to pregnancy. You know, we've done this at this point with tens of thousands of people since 1998, and we have yet to have any reports of major complications. California established a hotline at one point. I think they don't have it going right now because there were simply no reports of major adverse events. We definitely have had people throw up. Yeah.
It looks like the potential for DAS having a deep follow-up is definitely there. How many DAS do you have just staffing capacity-wise to potentially handle a lot of health department referrals?
So I anticipated somebody might want to know about whether or not you can do this. And the issue is related, you know, what sort of DIS capacity do you need to do something along these lines? And I think probably related to that, what are the costs, since that's obviously a practical consideration. And, you know, what's really critical is what is the productivity of your DIS? So I've hired six people to do this type of work since 1998. Five could work 1,200 cases per year, one couldn't and left. So I believe that that is a realistic standard for this type of partner services, which is much less intense than the traditional partner services. I'm going to work them incredibly hard. That said, not every DIS in the state of Washington can achieve that goal. So we would need 10 DIS in order to do this statewide, which would cost roughly $600,000. The cost of the program is all in the personnel. It's not in the meds. The meds are cheap. People are expensive.
Is this a quick question? We'll make that the last one.
When do you anticipate having some data on the impact on infections?
So we're hoping to have prevalence data in about a year. I think one of the critical issues, though, when we're trying to model this is, what is a sufficient delay from the intervention to see an impact on prevalence? And one of the things we learned in doing this trial, which I think I had not entirely appreciated, was the challenges of instituting this in such a large population that uptake is very highly variable. I mean, one of the things you can appreciate is you're still going up in terms of the provider's use a year after institution of the intervention. That it would be nice to say, I'm going to turn the intervention on and everyone's going to do it. But the reality of it is, you have to hammer at it for a long time. And so that complicates a stepwise community level randomized trial.